This is Ross of Jody and Ross fame. This is our first exclusive Movie Cock Talk episode preview that is available on the paid POC podcast, Apple Podcast channel. Yeah, that's a lot of words I just said. But if you follow the link in our Instagram bio, it'll take you to a page on Apple Podcasts where for $94.99, that number is very important. It's not 95 Rand, it's 94.99. It's a fucking bargain. You get early access to episodes and exclusive content for the entire network. That includes all Lesson of Somebody's, all Baked to the Podcast, and the brand new one, Omi Kachelfier. So try it for free for 1 month. After that, then you fucking pay for it. That's how it works. Listen to this episode. If you like what you hear, you can gain exclusive access to the rest of it. This is what you call like a teaser, like a just the tip. So enjoy this tip in your ear.
We started already.
Artists, we have to.
They're going to hear everything.
They're going to hear you naked.
The whole world. All 50 of the world.
They're going to hear you naked in on the toilet. No, Abby, we're going to be quiet on purpose.
This episode has focal content, so we're going to do long stretches of silence. And you're just going to be like, shh.
Yeah, well, we all poop in the shower. So.
Some quieter than others, but I mean, the smell is still there.
And then you waffle stomp it down the drain.
Now you give it that resurrection.
It is technically called a waffle stomp, actually.
What is that?
When you stomp your poop down the drain. Because you're pushing it through the drain and it gets like a waffle pattern.
Russ grew up on drain waffles, man.
That is what we used to. Yeah, you don't talk about my ex like that.
Whoa.
Yeah, we can't call women drain waffles anymore.
Yo.
Yes, like a gravel donkey.
Underground putty monster.
Gritkop monster. Anyway. Yes, yeah. This is going in the show.
No. Everything is content, bro.
Everything's content. Everything's for sale.
Going in the show. Every girl says no.
We do not disrespect our audience like that.
Yeah, we don't. We give them the truth. This is the real. Uh-huh. Okay? We're transparent. And welcome to Bioscope Brother. Wait, we need a moment of silence quickly. It's for editing purposes. No one died.
She thinks life's a joke.
I know. She thinks it's a joke. She takes everything as a joke. Imagine when I took my pants off for the first time.
Yeah. Waffle
mother. She started laughing.
She was like, yo, that looks waffle stomped.
That's our intro.
Welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where we talk movie news, reviews, cuck, and show in between.
Yeah. We do talk cuck and show in between.
My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
This is a very special episode.
Ah, great funny time, Ross. Welcome.
Funny time. Great special fun time episode.
Yeah.
This is a movie cock talk. We haven't had one of these in a long time.
Forever.
And forever. This is, if you are listening to this, welcome to Behind the Paywall.
Yes. you ventured beyond the paywall.
Beyond the paywall.
You've
welcome.
Given us your hard-earned cash.
That's right. Hell's our tan. Yeah, this is exclusive content for POC Podcast Network. Welcome. And I hope you are not disappointed. Which will probably mean that we will disappoint you.
Yeah. It's kind of like OnlyFans.
Yes.
You know when you're like, you don't know whether you should invest or not.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be a nipple or is it just going to be like 3/4 boob?
And yeah. Then you or pay. Is it going to be full on intercourse? Or yeah. Like with a rubberized phallic shape?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to be political.
And really. Eventually you pay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then it's not.
Yeah. Then it's actually just Vin Diesel reading poetry.
Or that person, like, oh wow, I just had hard intercourse with a rubberized phallic symbol.
Imagine Vin Diesel's poetry.
I call this one family.
Actually, I imagine his poetry to be with his real life voice. You know, that really like high pitched.
I call this one.
I call this one
family.
And then he just sings a Taylor Swift song. That's just his Facebook
content. That's a Taylor Swift song, right?
Why did you just have that ready to go?
I just went in the brain. Everything's filed away there.
You've got some Swifty up in there?
No, I actually don't like her because she wouldn't come out against white supremacy.
True. She knows Beyonce should have gotten the award.
Listen, like, say what you want about Kanye, but that motherfucker was right.
He was right.
He was right. Only in that instance, though. Mm. I know red caps around, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
motherfucker.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, slavery was real.
Slavery was real. Where's Abby going?
Yo, she's really going to leave us.
She's going to leave us now.
It's because we're behind the paywall. She's going to get ready for the other content. It's not like
you have to go to work. You're at work. This is the office. Anyway, this is an MKT about which subject, Jody?
We are doing action movies. More specifically, we are going to compare action movies from the 80s, 90s, and noughties. And between you and me, we're going to decide which decade gave us the bestest.
When you say between you and me, obviously you mean definitively and forever shall this be known as the best decade for action movies.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everyone has to abide by this.
I mean,
you pay to be here.
This is why you listen to your brother. Because we give you the real and the facts and stuff.
Yeah.
She's really going to shower, mommy. Yeah.
She put the gown on now.
It's going to be loud.
And proud. Just don't make us stinky. So long as you don't popo, it's fine.
Too late. Let's start in the decade that we were born.
Oh, yeah.
1965. No, the 80s, baby.
Do you know what's my abiding memory of like the movies from this time?
What?
You and I should really not have been watching many of them at the times that we watched them.
No.
Many of these movies.
Let's choke that up to bad parenting.
Yeah, no. Very, very.
I love it, though. I love the fact that they didn't give a fuck and they let us watch this shit because it kind of shaped me and shaped my cinematic tastes and all that. So I appreciate it. And it was a different time, you know?
It really was. Mm. Like, when these movies come on TV, I stop what I do and I watch
these
movies.
Yeah, you can't help.
You can't.
Not only are they good movies, but the nostalgia just hits you square in the dick. Yeah.
Off the charts, right in the base of your nuts. You 100%. Know
and you can't ignore a shot to the base of your nuts.
No, the perineum.
The perineum. Science, bitch.
The tender region between the anus
and the
testicles.
And the testicles. So, we're going to eat it. 1984, I see, as your first one on this list.
Well, yeah, it's in no particular order.
Yeah, okay. Let's not go by date. Whoops.
All these movies are from the 80s.
Yeah.
Do you have like an aesthetic remembrance of films from back then?
Yes.
What do you picture when you think?
Muscles.
Large muscles.
Big, large muscles. Uh-huh. Okay.
Shiny.
Shiny, sweaty, large muscles. Wow, I'm surprised I'm not like gay at this point.
Yeah.
With all the looking and
we probably are. I mean, it's like
everybody's gay once in a while.
Yeah, you know.
But large sweaty muscles, fucking manly, overly macho. Think WWE.
Yeah. Exactly what they do in there. Yeah. When it was still WWF.
Yeah, yeah. WWF. Now it's just a bunch of pandas wrestling.
Yeah. Also, you think of it's one-liners. You don't really need dialogue.
No.
You operate on one-liners.
Yeah, one-liners, quippy comebacks that are supposed to, you know, be funny, but or badass at the same time, but sometimes doesn't land, but doesn't matter. Yeah,
it's like the guy will be, like you cut off the guy's arms, both arms, he's like, I guess he's unarmed.
Wow.
You know?
I just got chills.
Yeah.
That was so well done.
It's like
Joey.
My Sly and Arnie mix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Slani.
Slani. With the Slani.
Slani. Yeah, let's jump into it.
Some of the favorites from back then.
Yeah, Jody made this list. Yeah. I did no research whatsoever.
What I will say, just like even looking at the overall list, the 80s were dominated by Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone specifically.
100%.
But we also have like a few breakouts coming during this time.
We do.
Eddie Murphy, we had Bruce Willis in our favorite action movie.
Yes.
And we also had Sigourney Weaver coming out as like probably what the only, I'd say, famous female action star from back then. I mean, there were a few women who were like video famous, you know, like if you go to the video shop, there's action movies starring. It was like two women who did a lot of karate films back then.
Yeah. Cynthia Rothrock.
Yeah.
Was one of them.
Yeah.
And who's the other one? Billy Blanks.
That's not a woman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's Billy with a Y, not an I. But there were no real famous, like,
yeah,
you know, female action stars. Sigourney Weaver kind of like really, she was way ahead of the curve on that one.
Word up.
Some of Arnie's good stuff to come out from the 80s. Mm. Let's dive right in there. Conan the Barbarian.
Yes, this videotape cover had boobies on it at the back.
Yeah.
My father let me hire it.
Really?
Yeah. I was still pointed out to him. I'm like, there's boobs there. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. Just take it. And so I was like, banana.
This was like right after he transitioned from his
Hercules,
Mr. Olympia and all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Because right? He was, I think his first cinema appearance was Hercules.
Yeah. And he really did not do any talking in these.
No, he mouthed. I don't think he could speak English at
no,
that point.
No, not really.
So he was mouthing his dialogue, and they sort of dubbed him afterwards, right? But in Conan, I can't remember. Was that the case in Conan?
I think he just didn't have a lot of dialogue. I
can't remember, yeah.
I think he just didn't have a lot of dialogue.
But he had the fucking look, that's for sure.
He had the long hair. He had
the muscles.
Shiny muscles.
And he could hold that sword.
Yeah.
And swing it.
Yeah. And that was just like you said, the aesthetic from the time was, if you've got muscles and you look quite doing stuff, you are in it to win it.
100%. One of my favorites from Arnie is Commando. So Commando, that's a fucking classic.
My favorite, the best thing about Commando is that despite the accent, it is accepted that Arnie is a U.S. soldier with an
born
American
and
family.
Bred. U.S. soldier.
Born and bred.
Born and bred.
With Alyssa Milano as the daughter, right?
Yes. It was peak action. So he's huge explosions, him holding fucking massive guns.
Do you remember the, was it on the video cassette cover with the...
With the rocket launcher.
With the four things. Yeah.
He's just holding
And he's got
thing.
The camouflage on his face and everything.
And he shoots that motherfucker like it ain't no thing.
Yeah, it's no thing. And none of this movie takes place in the jungle.
Nope.
It's all like, so it's urban areas.
Urban Commando. It should have been called Urban Commando. Thousands of casualties.
But I guess that was like a massive theme back then, right? As much as now movies are trying to transition into like Collateral Damage and the impact thereof.
Yeah.
Back then, that
they
was...
They didn't care. You know why, Jody? Cocaine!
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Cocaine, baby! They were like, yes, more, bigger, explosions, death.
Yeah.
But we ate that shit up, my bro.
We really... Anything that was put down our throats, we ate up. Talking about ate up shit from the 80s, Top Gun.
Mm.
You talk about U.S. patriotism.
Yeah.
You talk about homoerotic
beach volleyball.
I think that was like a big thing in that time though, right? Like
people, homoeroticism.
Yes. I mean, we've discussed the
look,
the
people were
muscles.
Androgynous in the 80s anyway. The fact that they couldn't tell that George Michael was gay was astounding to me looking back.
Yeah, know? George Michael says that it was astounding to him that like, people didn't know that he was gay. But that whole hyper-patriotic and uber-American thing from back then.
This movie made it worse.
It didn't even matter where the lead character was from or what the point of the movie was.
No.
Everyone just loved being American.
They really did.
And the whole point of Top Gun was basically a recruitment drive.
And I'm
for,
proud to be an American.
Yeah.
Look, a lot of people don't know that for the most part, when you have like action movies and stuff and you use like military equipment, you have to get the approval of the United States government in order to use those things. That's why they love Michael Bay so much, because he always portrays the army to be a force for good and stuff, and they have to approve the script before they let you in on this shit.
I don't think there's any issues there.
No
issues.
Not with this film, because this the recruitment for the Air Force shot up like a shit ton after this, to the point where they are not, still to this day, they are not allowed to quote Top Gun lines
in
if
also,
you are a recruit.
Also, don't start singing
What Kenny Loggins.
No, not Loggins. The song that they all sing for that woman. Because baby.
Oh, yes. Da, 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 da,
da. What?
You've lost that love and feeling.
Do you think they're going to sing it in the new movie?
No.
What are they going to sing?
Everyone's dead. Goose is dead.
Yeah, but you can do it as a tribute.
You can't have Tom Cruise.
Yeah, alone.
At Iceman's funeral.
Yes.
You've lost that love.
Although Danger Zone is one of the best songs of all time. That's another thing about the 80s, bro.
The music. Astounding.
Right?
Can we transition?
Yeah. Let's go to... Bang, bang. No, I hate that, but don't... Crazy Frog for tech. Anyway, Beverly Hills Cops... breakout movie for Eddie Murphy, just because he transitioned into that action comedy vibe through this. I mean,
On his own. Yeah. He did 48 Hours also, which I
with
think
Nick
was,
Nolte.
Yeah, was a little bit older than this, but this was him starring on his own.
Yeah.
And boy, howdy.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Axel Foley, one of the best characters, can be borderline irritating, but he's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
He's so funny and he's so good at his job. And Beverly Hills Cop 1 was just... a fucking roller coaster of a movie. I loved it. Amazing soundtrack.
I love the fact that they just kept that song in all of the sequels also.
Yeah.
Like, they just didn't change it. It's like...
Look, Eddie Murphy did have a great career, but I feel like Beverly Hills Cop really put him in that space where he could do...
He can choose what he wants to do going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was also like a... It's almost like we had a lot of... quippy one-liners. We had these super strong hulking dudes
and he wasn't
Eddie,
big
who's like this skinny black guy who can talk fast and he thinks and he's funny and there was that transition into like you actually need to have funny jokes now you know, like you can't just
have a writer write these bullshit one-liners
and you say it in a deep voice and that's cool.
But look, jumping to Rambo, Sylvester Stallone. If you were at a Planet Hollywood, you were like, you were like big shit.
I almost made a very inappropriate joke.
We can take it offline.
Yeah.
Rambo, fuck, it changed lives, my bro.
It did. And if you just think about how that series transitioned from the standalone, very like insulated story.
Yes.
Into
about PTSD.
Yeah. Into this unstoppable force for good for America.
Yeah.
In all of the sequels. That's an easy transition. No, that's
like one. Rambo 4 is still... Look, Rambo 4 is awesome.
Yeah.
But it's this hyper-violent fucking mess.
It's just crazy.
And I love it.
Yeah.
You're like, what? You go going in there? And they're like, yeah. You go, you taking guns with you? And like, yeah, we're not taking guns. Then you're not changing anything.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like, he's that still, this rugged fucking guy.
Sylvester Stallone believes that he made a big difference to the Burmese people's lives.
He did. He changed them just by mass murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They used to exist. And
look, you and I always refer to that scene where he turns that guy to mush.
He liquefies a guy's body.
But it all started in the 80s, and it started with that film that took the world by storm. That's why you can't fault Stallone, man. I mean,
you can't,
especially in his. I call them the hunger years. You know, when he was hungry, and not only for money and fame, but for food.
Yeah.
So
he was literally.
Yeah, I mean, when he wrote Rocky, he was fucking living paycheck to paycheck, doing a little bit of porn. He sold his dog.
Softcore porn.
Okay. I'm sure that you could see the edge.
Just be specific, okay?
He sold his dog.
Yeah, Butkus.
Yeah, but then he got him back.
Yeah.
After he was successful.
Yeah, the guy, but for a whole lot of extra money.
So those movies, right? Like Rocky and Rambo, they had so much heart back then.
Do you know what I think is underestimated with the movies there?
What?
The importance of cocaine in terms of getting us to go from those insulated stories like Rambo and Rocky 1 to the utter insanity of the sequels.
No, this is it's an allegory on drug abuse.
Yeah.
As a franchise. It's like,
1,000 more bad guys.
We're going to help the Taliban. Like fucking escalate.
With no cocaine, that doesn't happen.
No,
though,
it
man.
Does not.
Doesn't happen.
I don't see Lethal Weapon yet. Was that 90s?
Lethal Weapon was also in the 80s. It should be, yeah. I had it on my list.
Is it? Well, it's not on this list.
I apologize. The first two were in the 80s.
Love Lethal Weapon.
Yes. Lethal Weapon 1 was the...
Diplomatic Immunity.
Ah, the part 2 was with the Krugerrands.
The Krugerrands. Yeah, the, if you don't
know... South African accent.
South African... The South Africans are in Lethal Weapon 2 as the bad guys.
Danny...
Yeah, Danny Donald Danny
is an ANC member. Yes. He's protesting for Nelson Mandela.
I love it when they touch on our storied past. But Lethal Weapon as a franchise as well. Mel Gibson, troubled man.
Yes.
But he was very good as
Riggs. Also indicating or giving us a very realistic portrayal of PTSD and
as well. That depression. First movie from Lethal Weapon
it's
as
not
well.
Like the rest it's
dark.
It's
yeah.
not like the rest
He's
of it.
Like toying with suicide and but again he again that's the one issue I have with that. He now lost his He lost someone in Lethal Weapon 1.
His wife, yeah.
And then in Lethal Weapon 2 he again loses that guy. Like they kill that chick.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, but we don't care about that one.
I know, but then that's Rene's a problem.
Rene Russo comes in part 3.
Finally, but it's that old Hollywood thing of like, oh, yeah, the woman's only purpose in this movie is to die.
Yeah.
So that our hero can feel something.
Get over it. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Okay. That's enough. That was enough. You heard enough. Okay, if you like what you heard, head over to the link in our Instagram bio and you know what to do. Stay safe, everyone.